It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Time to bring in Cynthia and Ann, who are in the interview room. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we also bring in Janet Manco, who's in the living room.
Well, she's in the home office.
This morning, actually, in the kitchen. But anyway, sometimes I do it from the journal.
Hey, you know what? Every morning I set everything up from my computer in my living room. So
that's
the way. That's exactly right. It works. All right. Well, let's get right to the front pages of the Lakeville Journal. And we'll start off, first of all, with Salisbury resident trooper Chris Sorrell reading, "Where's Rodney?"
And he's got a very severe look on his face that kind of mirrors the look of the young boy in the story. Chris Sorrell, such a wonderful guy, North Canaan resident, came to read at Salisbury Central School. Of course, he's the resident state trooper in Salisbury. And we had read aloud this year, I think, was the first year I can remember when it was in 5 out of the 6 schools. In past years, it's been a little more scattered. And Kent will do theirs on March 2nd.
All right, story by Patrick Sullivan on climate change at the Carey Institute.
Which is, you know, nice. So it's Josh Ginsburg, who's the head of the Carey Institute in Millbrook, which is a very legit place and thoughtful, aware of what's current science. And it sort of took the flip side, which is, no, there are things that we need not worry about with climate change. And, of course, he starts off by saying, there are lots of things, of course, that we do need to worry about. But he sort of went through and sort of said, you know, don't panic about on these particular issues, which I felt really good reading that.
All right. And Shaw covered a story out of Winsted about hearing for a marijuana dispensary.
And I have to say, I have to confess, I have a really hard time keeping up on what's legal where. But marijuana dispensary, I know that there is a marijuana factory, I believe, someplace in the state, because one of the zoning officers was talking to me about. She said it's not sort of the fun thing you think it's going to be. She said it's like a spaceship. Everything is so closed off, and everybody, you can't walk in unless your body's completely covered. So they're looking for to open a marijuana dispensary, I guess, for medical marijuana in Winsted at what used to be the Kentucky Fried Chicken, which I guess has been an abandoned commercial space for about 10 years, slightly off the main drag.
I've got to laugh.
I know. Everybody thinks it's really funny. I'm trying to be straight here.
If you're going to smoke marijuana, the first place you're going to go to is
Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, you know, there are a lot of fast food places to eat. There is a Dunkin' in Winsted. But so that hearing is Monday night. And interestingly, the person who wants to open the marijuana dispensary is remaining aggressively anonymous. Shaw actually did quite a bit of research to try and find out who it is. And I think I would like to know who it is if somebody was opening a marijuana dispensary in my town.
All right.
But we'll find out.
Now, a story that I read early this morning, yesterday when the paper was picked up by Patrick Sullivan, the real numbers on Housatonic Valley Regional High School NYP grades. The only problem I have with the story is that the Housatonic principal, Jose Martinez, made the announcement that there are 5 student-athletes out of the 106. The only reason student-athletes were involved in this is it came from an original statement by the athletic director that it looked like there wasn't going to be teams available. But parents and students have been complaining about this in general. And if you look further in the paper, you've got some great articles in this paper from students that are currently there and students that were there that are in the paper already. And you also have letters from other people as well. But a great job in covering
all
the multiple sides of this.
Certainly, we do know that this has been going on for more than a year and a half. We've been to many, many meetings about this. It's something that we've written about extensively in the paper, which is there is a lot of dispute about this new grading system. And as Marshall said, and Janet will talk about, there are two differing views on from students. But so this article in this particular round of protest was hit off by a letter that went out from the athletic director saying, you know, to a number of parents saying your kids are not going to be able to participate because of their grades. And so that's why they were reporting on 5 out of the 106 who were ineligible.
All right. Now, let's get down to politics. Left and right side of the page, you've got Ned Lamont. There's a name we haven't heard in a while. And also Maria Horn.
Right. Ned Lamont. Nice photo of him from Shaw. And the bookstore in Winsted, which is a very, you know, I have to say, driving through Winsted, it never occurred to me that there was a bookstore there. There's so many towns in our area that don't have a bookstore.
Ralph Nader, yeah.
Yeah, so this
is the Winsted Community Bookstore, and Ralph Nader and his foundation are behind it.
Very active, doing a lot of interesting stuff, lots of interesting talks that Shaw's been covering. And they're inviting the gubernatorial candidates, of whom I believe there are many at this point, and the first was Ned Lamont. So interesting pre-discussion with him from Shaw. And then Maria Horn, also known as Maria Quinn, is an incredibly lovely, smart, dedicated, experienced person, has thrown her hat in the ring, and will be running against Brian Oler, she says, for the 64th District as a state rep.
All right.
And we're going to wait until closer to the election. We like to have all the candidates sort of get equal time on the page, so we'll have a longer profile of her getting closer to the election date.
And Bernie Drew's history notebook, Bad Roads in Old Sharon.
We had to make sure to put the word old in the headline so that people didn't think we were coming down hard on Sharon, because I'll tell you, local roads, I haven't seen them this bad in years. There are crater size potholes in some of the roads. It reminds me of growing up in Chicago. So, but a little history story back in the days when there was no... comforting suspension in people's cars. Actually, Anne's husband, Spencer, said to me, you've got to find a bunch of people who grew up in this area and ask them what it was like driving around in bad weather in the old cars before you had power steering and power brakes. And so we'll see if we can get that done before the winter's over.
I can remember that, being driven around in it, and the cars were bigger, bulkier, heavier. They were rear-wheel drive, and most of the cars didn't have a thing called posi-traction. Posi-traction was the big option where both wheels and the rear wheels would fit. I think the accident rates are about the same. I think, when you're a little careless when you drive, it doesn't matter whether you're driving a 4x4 or not.
True.
As we knew from last week's police blotter.
Yeah. Hey, look at that. The furry friends are back.
Yes, very cute. In fact, that's Mike Duca and his wife Jackie's dog. Mike is a columnist for the Lakeville Journal, and the cat is Leslie French from Lime Rock, but also a fish, and which Jake Peterson caught a couple weeks ago at the Twin Lakes back when there was still ice on the lakes?
Yes.
And speaking of which, the Kent Ice Watch, I said to Elise Sattler, our reporter, all we've been doing is watching the ice in Kent for the last 2-3 weeks, but they are still doing the ice watch. The tickets are no longer for sale, but the betting has the watching has begun, and we'll see if there's new ice after now that all the old ice has melted. I hate to say it, but I hope not.
They should have done a doubleheader this year. Two
they
ice
should have
watches.
Just done a quick one, right?
The ice jam watch and then the ice watch.
Yeah.
When's the ice jam going to break?
Yeah.
And then just have the regular ice watch.
I hate to be such a baby, but I hope there's no more ice. I hope this is it.
All right. Now we begin the saga of Tons of Color in the Journal this week.
I know.
Welcome to the dog days of February.
We love to get tons of color when we have tons of young people doing wonderful things at our local schools and libraries. And we thank our advertisers for helping make that possible. And we have a Chinese teacher from the Hotchka School, whose name is Mei Ling Deng. And she taught you can see from the photos, looks like a really pretty advanced class on Chinese culture to celebrate the beginning of the Year of the Dog, which just happened, I think, February 20th.
All right, page A4 and A5, just
once again,
there's really so much happy color, it makes you feel like springtime.
Yeah, it's not here yet.
But it makes you feel like it.
But the river may not freeze
again.
It
felt like it yesterday. It was great.
Pretty good today, too. I'll take today. So it was a read aloud day. It happened to be on Valentine's Day. We love reading. And community members come into the local schools. It's an annual event sponsored this year by the Draper Fund of the Northwest Connecticut Chamber of Commerce. They buy books, the same book, for students in grades pre-K to 6th grade, for all of the schools in the area, including our Winsted schools. And the schools' libraries get to keep those books. And some schools do additional choices of books for the 7th and 8th graders. I saw Rosemary Kilty when I was at North Canaan Elementary School, and she picked out a fun story from Roald Dahl, so those are some lucky kids. List of books there, but as you said, some nice photos.
A couple of stories. The lasagna dinner coming up at the Lee H. Kellogg School March 9th, but also the 37th Annual Student Open Recital in Salisbury, which is really put together by the Alice Life Fund, is coming up on February 25th.
And put together by my neighbor, Joe Loy, and Janet and I have both spent many, many happy years watching those concerts as our daughters were doing ballet performances. But there's really good music. There's classical music. There's lots of jazz with Peter McCarron and his group from the Salisbury School. Singing, really a lot of talented kids. And if you are free on February 25th, you should stop over there.
All right, and lots of obituaries and a nice appreciation letter from Pat McCarron and the girlfriends on Gail Tunsing.
Right, and every person who's in the obits page, of course, is enormously important to the person, to the people who lost that person, but some very notable local people, as you said, Gail Tunsing, George Kiefer, Brian Richardson, that was a big surprise, very active with the Northwest Marine Detachment what's it called? But he'll be very missed, as many people will.
As will Gene Day, who pretty much anyone who has visited Sand Road over the years encountered.
Right.
All right, we'll go on to the opinion pages now. We'll start off with the editorial flags held at half staff at Salisbury Central School, and it's time.
It's time for all of us to pay attention to what's happening in our schools. You all were talking about what happened at the town meeting last night on CNN, that, you know, these courageous kids from Florida, you know, after what they've been through, they could be just hiding under their covers. And no, they're coming out courageously and bravely, and their parents with them, and speaking out to their leaders, and let's hope they're listening. We are looking at the big picture here. Americans love guns, and that seems to be a problem we have a very hard time overcoming. Yet now's the time we have to do it. Who thought it couldn't happen after those very young children were murdered in Newtown at Sandy Hook Elementary School? But look how much has happened since. We have to get this under control.
Yeah, there's, people have got to learn to talk with one another, not at one another.
Yeah. And listen, and understand that, you know,
you got to listen.
Yeah, it's not working. Something's not working.
And we knew this was going to happen on the opinion pages editorial. Misses the point out of Salisbury versus Lime Rock. Our P&Z did their job. This is a very touchy, hot subject.
It is, and we're really glad to have these letters. we look at our editorial space as that's where we have our voice, as, you know, the editorial board at the paper. But the letters to the editor, that's our reader space, and that is sacred, and we want everyone to have their say. That discussion is vibrant this week. Don't miss these letters rebutting our editorial on the decision on Lime Rock Park and the Salisbury P&Z. Read them carefully. They're well written and make their arguments well. We also have, I'll say, a correction of a letter because of my mistake for SWASA. You'll read the editor's note from me to see what I did. Totally my fault. Better letter is in there. And as Marshall mentioned, we have two excellent columns this week, two of them from Hoosie student who was our intern last summer, Ashley Baldwin, and one from a current freshman at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, Mia Tittman from Salisbury. Two really articulate young women who are giving us information and letting their opinions be known. And here's another situation where it's important to look at their viewpoints and listen and think.
Well, I like the last paragraph in Mia Tippmann's. With all this in mind, please attend meetings, voice your concerns, and understand we're all fighting for the same cause in the end. But really, it all starts with you've got to go to the meetings.
Yeah, engage.
Even you have to watch the meetings if you can't go, and then if you watch something and you don't understand it, write or call, but you have to engage. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and things change. Look at how much things have changed just over the past month as far as information coming out drip by drip. So really you have to remain aware of what's going on and, let people know how you'd like things to go because they can change.
And of course, there are other commentaries on the pages as well. But really nice to see those one former student and one current student, their articles. I want to move on to a story by Alexander Wilburn, Something Victorian, Something Blue.
The Era of Elegance talks. And we sent Alex this one. He had just come back from a week's vacation. We felt like he needed a little culture immersion. And then, of course, the annual fundraiser at the D.M. Hunt Library, always popular. And this weekend coming up in Norfolk is the their winter weekend. It's their first one. They usually do a festival in summer. But, of course, Norfolk famously, the Icebox of Connecticut, but also famously our local curling center. Salisbury Band looking for people. And Ann and I are going to go to the Learn Yiddish class on March 3rd, which we're looking forward to.
And we should also mention West Cornwall has the West Cornwall Stroll. And if there's ever a town that's easy to stroll around in,
it is West Cornwall.
Yeah. Especially with their new sidewalk.
With a beautiful covered bridge and lots of shops open and hot cocoa and stuff. And then we've got the FFA banner this week. And we do love to support our students at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Patrick was this morning at the FFA breakfast. Lots of nice photos and a reminder that those kids in the FFA do great work.
All right. Let us move forth. Compass.
Hi, Marshall. Hi, Jill. We have the big story, which is that there seems to be, finally, some kind of a decision about the Berkshire Museum. And for those of you who don't know, the Berkshire Museum is that fabulously quirky, kind of old, run-down museum in Pittsfield that's full of stuffed cougars and Civil War memorabilia and fabulous marble statues. It's just a complete mishmash of amazing stuff. It was built by Zenas Crane, the founder of the Crane Paper Company. And it's a treasure, and it should be preserved. So they had suggested to sell off some Norman Rockwell paintings, which caused a huge hubbub of people who didn't believe that was the right thing to do. But it looks like there's some kind of a decision, and I'm going to let you all read the story because it's so complicated that I assigned this piece so that we could all understand it. Anyway, it's definitely worth knowing about. And then we have Leon Graham's review of Black Panther, and I like his lead. I know you would rather sit on exposed nails than see a Marvel comic book movie, which is true for me. So he must have been writing it for me, because most of the country is going to see this movie in droves, and it's doing really, really well.
It's great.
And it has fabulous music, and Leon gave it a big thumbs up, dozens of thumbs up. So that's it. And then we move on to Patrick's extremely amusing review of the latest in the 50 Shades movies. And he's got some pretty, I don't even know if I can say it. Can I say it on the radio, Cynthia, about my favorite line?
I can't remember which one that was.
He said it's tells the story of the two most boring people who ever deployed a nipple clamp.
Yes, nipples are okay to mention on the air.
Okay, good. Thanks, Marshall.
It's a different N-word.
Right. And it's Patrick Sullivan's take on 50 Shades Freed, and it's amusing and worth reading and may make you change your mind about whether you want to see it or not. And then we have a kind of a think piece. And when I used to work in newspapers, there was always the thumbsucker, which was a thumbsucker is a story that really is an opinion about something that's going on in the big, important world. But this is just a very intimate piece about what solitude is like, written by Chelsea Edgar, who used to work at the Lakeville Journal, and she's a wonderful writer. And she talks about the difference between hygge, which is this Scandinavian concept of coziness, and actual solitude. And it's definitely worth reading. And that's all I have for this week.
You know, I have to go back to Black Panther and to Marvel Comics. And what I have to say is, someone who's 65 and grew up as a kid reading Marvel Comics versus the new, they were the new comic books on the block when I was a kid, and I became a big fan of them. And this whole plethora of decent movies with decent actors in them, they're not award-winning movies at all, but they are feel-good movies in the way that they represent something that sits in our past. And I think the Black Panther movie is finally so long overdue to represent Black Americans and a black superhero. I mean, you've got, mm-hmm. It sounds crazy to sit here and talk about Wonder Woman and Iron Man and stuff like that, but you have so many different other genres that are represented.
But I have to say, it's such a great movie. It transcends. Yeah.
But that's the idea.
Color.
That,
yeah.
P.S. It's a great movie. That was the idea of comics. That was the idea of, you know, again, when you get into archetypes and right, wrong, good, evil.
Yep.
That's the point.
Not every movie is an Academy Award winner, but no. It still can be.
Well,
still
this one might be. You never know.
Yeah, this is a really good movie.
Yeah, no. But all I'm saying is that the genre. A lot of people might just throw away the fact that either that it's about the Black Panthers, which, or that it's a comic book. Well, comic books have come a long way.
And graphic novels, and that's, you know, exactly it's right. Really a whole different art form. It's great, and I have to agree with you, Marshall. I loved these comic books as a kid, and you know, many people do. So, yeah, Leon does give this a great review and has some really interesting comments to make about it.
All right.
And that was a robocall from Region 1, who is now doing an early dismissal.
Okay, so Region 1 is doing an early dismissal today. All right, well, before we wrap up here, I Can, We Will, the FFA.
Great stuff happening at that high school. Adorable photos from last year's open house. We try to get photos every year from the open house when the students at the end of the year show off their projects and what they've learned, and we will do so again this year.
And, yeah, take this opportunity to learn more about the FFA in your area. They're at all the high schools around here, and Housatonic has a great one. So does Stissing Mountain. They're just really, it's great opportunities for the kids. They learn wonderful skills by being a part of this organization.
Now, how were your responses to what you looked for last week? You're looking for responses from people, all the things I said to the Lakeville Journal about what was going on in Region 1. I mean, was did you get a lot of responses to that?
Well, you're looking at the two columns that we received, which... I thought that was exactly the kind of response I was hoping for. And, of course, Principal Martinez also sent us new information as he put that out for everybody. We welcome further letters or ongoing commentary on it, and maybe our two students' thoughts will spur others on to let us know what they're thinking, too, because, each of these columns gives a slightly different view, but we'd love to hear from everybody. Though in Ashley's column, she notes that she has heard of some pressure being put on teachers not to speak. And could parents feel the same way, that their kids might, it is high school. Their kids might not want them to speak out. But anyway, well, they should overcome that and let us know what they're thinking and how they're reacting to not only the system, but how it's been communicated and how it's being handled now and going into not only the end of this year, but into next year,
And I want students in our area to just look at the brave students in Florida, how they're handling their crisis by doing what they're creating a movement that I think is finally going to make a difference.
Students
can do that. They're no longer kids. These are students, and they grow up very, very quickly.
And they grow up to be voters.
Yeah. Well, very soon. Yep. And I will say, don't miss Phil Truax's column on the Second Amendment along those lines.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. You'll find them on the web, tricornernews.com, also on Facebook and on your newsstands as well.